This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you for choosing to listen to the Christian War Room. It's great to have you here. Today we're going to be looking at something very important, and again, it's a Christian War Room, so we are going against everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And one of the things which sets itself up is a denial of certain doctrines, which you find in Christian churches, where they talk about everything. They talk about being nice, being good, and being, you know, fitting in with the world and all that, but what they don't talk about very often are some churches. Some they do it to an extreme, and others they just conveniently try to forget about it, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. The return of Jesus Christ. And it's very important. It's very important. Jesus very clearly said that we do not know the time or the day when he comes back, and he warned us that there's going to be big deception, and a lot of people will come in his name and say that they are him, that they are Jesus Christ returned. And we've got all this happening today, and we need to watch out for them. But also he said, you know, see to it that the day of the Lord, you know, the day of Christ's return will not overtake you like a thief in the night, that he will come like a thief in the night, and that we will not be caught up by it. And one way to not being caught up by it is to just be alert. To see what Jesus said. And we have got lots and lots of prophecy in the Bible just pointing to a particular period in time, which is the return of Christ. And we need to look at this, at the return of Christ and what is happening. So there are lots of scriptures. We've got Matthew 24, Luke 21. We have got Daniel. The book of Daniel talks about, you know, the time when the great ruler comes and takes everything over and messes up the world. We have got a whole book that's dedicated to this period in history, which is the book of Revelation, giving us a good insight of what the world is going to be looking like. You know, the disasters, the judgment of gods, the seals, the bolts of wrath being poured out upon the earth. And we need to be aware of this, and there are a couple of reasons of this. Number one is we need to prepare ourselves. We should live our lives to expect the return of the Lord at any time. And to be fair, you know, our personal return of the Lord as Christians could be the day we die, that we stand in front of him. And we should live lives worthy of our calling. And again, it's tough, it's hard, and it's very difficult. But this is a predicament of the Christian. We have got deliverance from sin. We have got the hand of God actively working in our lives. We are surrounded by angels protecting us and coaching us and leading us. We've got so many advantages compared to those who do not know God. But there's a big challenge in our life, and that is dealing with the vocation, the calling God has given us, and to make sure that we do not fall short of our calling. And this may be the job you have. It may be looking after your kids. It may be preaching the gospel. It may be having some sort of ministry, working for the church or something. It may be feeding the poor. It may be writing amazing stuff, producing films, audio, whatever it may be. But there's a calling upon our lives, and we need to make sure that we are busy and that the Lord finds us busy when he returns. And he says, blessed, you know, blessed is the servant, Lord, whom the Lord finds doing his bidding. And this is sort of, you know, stuff which we are called to do, and it's a big challenge in our lives. Probably the biggest challenge we're dealing with, because it's so easy to just fall away from the straight and narrow way God has laid out for us, and to just walk on some path which we just sort of slip onto it and don't watch our way, and suddenly we are there. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to look at prophecy, which was given by an old woman in 1968. This was in Norway, and you may have come across this prophecy. She was in 1968, she was 90 years old. And I'm going to read the text to you, and I'm going to comment on it as well, because one thing is certain. I'm not saying this prophecy is the word of God, but we should look at it in the light of the word of God. And it's a bit like with David Wilkerson. He has given us a lot of prophecies, and as we look down in time, you know, especially his prophecies being given about 40 years ago, a lot of the stuff, you know, this man said has come into, you know, has come to happen, has come to be. And that's one of those prophecies as well. I tried to sort of find some information about this. It's been circulating around the internet for quite some time. Is it fake? Is it right? I kind of think it's right. Pretty much fits in with a lot of other stuff I've heard. So let's go through this prophecy and see what we can think about it. Okay, an old woman of 90 years of age from Valdres in Norway had a vision from God in 1968. The evangelist Emmanuel Minos had meetings where she lived, and he had the opportunity to meet her, and she told him what she had seen, and he wrote it down, but thought it to be so unintelligible that he put it in a drawer. And now, almost 30 years later, he understands that he has to share this vision with others. Okay, now 30 years later, from 1968, would have been about just 1998, yeah, just short of the year 2000. Okay, the woman from Valdres was very alert, reliable, awake, credible Christian, with a good reputation among all who knew her. And this is what she saw. And she said, in this quotation mark, "I saw the time just before the coming of Jesus and the outbreak of the Third World War. I saw the events with my natural eyes. I saw the world like a kind of globe. I saw Europe. Land by land, I saw Scandinavia. I saw Norway. I saw certain things that would take place just before the return of Jesus and just before the last calamity happens, a calamity the likes of which we have never experienced." She mentioned four waves. The first wave. First, before Jesus comes and before the Third World War breaks out, there will be a détente. Like we've never had before. There will be peace between the superpowers in the East and the West, and there will be a long peace. And brackets, remember that this was in 1968 when the Cold War was at its highest. This is by Eminos. He wrote this in there. And this period of peace, there will be disarmament in many countries, also in Norway, and we are not prepared when it comes. The Third World War will begin in a way no one would have anticipated and from an unexpected place. Number two, that's a second wave. A lukewarmness without parallel will take hold of the Christians, a falling away from the true living Christianity. Christians will not be open for penetrating preaching. They will not, like in earlier times, want to hear of sin and grace, law and gospel, repentance and restoration. There will come a substitute instead, prosperity, Christianity. Okay? The important thing will be to have success, to be something, to have material things, things that God never promised us in this way. Churches and prayer houses will be emptier and emptier. Instead of the preaching we have been used to for generations, like to take up your cross and follow Jesus, entertainment, art, culture will invade the churches where there should have been gatherings for repentance and revival. This will increase markedly just before the return of Jesus. The third wave. There will be a moral disintegration that old Norway has never experienced. The likes of people will live together like married without being married. And Minos puts in brackets, I do not believe the concept of cohabitation existed in 1968. Bracket closed. Much uncleanness before marriage and much infidelity in marriage will become the natural, and it will be justified from every angle. It will even enter Christian circles and be petted, even sin against nature. Just before Jesus' return, there will be TV programs like we have never experienced. And then carries on, TV will be filled with such horrible violence that it teaches people to murder and destroy each other, and it will be unsafe in our streets. People will copy what they see. There will not be only one station on TV, it'll be filled with stations. TV will be just like the radio, where we have many stations, and it'll be filled with violence. People will use it for entertainment. We will see terrible scenes of murder and destruction one of the other, and this will spread in society. Sex scenes will also be shown on the screen, and the most intimate things that take place in a marriage. There the old woman said, "It'll happen and you will see it. All we have had before will be broken down, and most indecent things will pass before our eyes." Okay, and then the fourth wave. People from poor countries will stream to Europe. They will also come to Scandinavia and Norway. There will be so many of them that people will begin to dislike them and become hard with them. They'll be treated like the Jews before the Second World War. And then the full measure of our sins will have been reached. The tears streamed from the old woman's eyes down her cheeks. "I will not see it, but you will." Then suddenly Jesus will come and the Third World War breaks out. It'll be a short war. "All that I've seen of the war before is only child's play compared to this one. It'll be ended with a nuclear atom bomb. The air will be so polluted that one cannot draw one's breath. It'll cover several continents, America, Japan, Australia, and the wealthy nations. The water will be ruined, and we can no longer till the soil. The result will be that only a remnant will remain. The remnant in the wealthy countries will try to flee to the poor countries, but they will be as hard on us as we were on them. I am so glad that I will not see it, but when the time draws near, you must take courage and tell this. I have received it from God, and nothing of it goes against what the Bible tells. The one who has his sins forgiven and has Jesus as Savior and Lord is safe." Okay, that is a prophecy. Let's see how much time we've got. We've got about, just about 50 minutes left. Quite powerful. I've heard this report before from something else, and there was a little bit more text. There was a little bit more comments, and this might have been by Minos. She was talking about cars, if I remember right, which look like bubbles, and this is pretty much the Wind Channel cars which were manufactured. And again, we have to understand what 1968 looked like. I was around in 1968, but I wasn't very old. I was a toddler. So I do remember, I can vividly remember 1 or 2 years later, so the 70s and 70, 71. I have memories from that time. One thing you have to bear in mind is that television had only, like, in Norway, I understand, they only had one channel. In Germany, where I grew up, we had three channels. And it was very much state-controlled. There was no immoral stuff on television. It was very decent, and it's sometimes interesting. And I love to do it on YouTube, to look sometimes at old TV shows. And when you see, you know, how tame it was compared to what it is today, it's quite remarkable. So we really have to, especially if you are from the younger end, the younger generation, you have to sort of turn your imagination a little bit back and see what it was like. Okay, so first of all, the first wave, it says that that there will be a peace. Again, most of you, if you are young, you will remember this, but in 1990, the East and the West division broke down. The East collapsed, economically and politically. Everything changed, and suddenly there was just peace around. I remember the wall came down between Germany and only 2 or 3 years before that. I grew up in West Germany. We were discussing the whole East-West scenario, and we were convinced that in our lifetime we would not see this division to end. The communism would just go on, and maybe the next generation, so that would be my children's generation, after I die, they might have a chance to see a unification take place. And nobody ever thought that this was going to take place. I became a Christian in 1983, and in 1984, 1985, I heard Reinhard Bonnke prophesying that the Berlin Wall would come down. And I remember sort of thinking to myself, I said, look, with all this prophecy stuff, you have to be careful what you prophesy. It's not going to happen. And then it did come down in 1989. It was just incredible. I couldn't believe it myself when I heard it. There was also a lot of stuff going on to try and stop the wall from coming down. You know, the communist regimes are trying to prop themselves up, similar to what was happening in China in Tiananmen Square. And I heard a lot of information as well where it was almost miraculous. You know, I understand there was an error made by one of the politicians in East Germany, and he just they wanted to relax everything. You know, the relationship between East and West Germany, and East Germans are allowed to travel and sort of come to a bit more a reasonable regime. You know, get the people involved and have a new form of communism or of running the country. And it sounded all very, you know, really progressive and really good, but the people were so fed up they wouldn't buy it anymore. And by chance, it came open. The borders in Berlin, they were opened that night. I met another guy as well sometime later, years later, and he was at the time stationed in Berlin. He was with one of the Allied forces, and they were observing what was going on in East Germany, and they had the order if any of the East Germans start shooting on their own people, to take out those East German guards. And so, I mean, in a way, we were sort of inches away from the Third World War at that time, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So quite an amazing time when you look at this. And she has prophesied this in 1968, and the Cold War was really hard. I mean, nobody in 1968 would have said that there was going to be a time of peace between East and West. Nobody would have thought it at the time. I mean, even two, three years before the wall came down, whilst I was studying at college, at politics, at sort of higher level, our conclusion was it's not going to happen in our lifetime. And that was, you know, not just being pessimistic or anything like that. That was just a reality. So quite amazing. Then the second wave, and it's interesting as well, and that sort of pretty much comes after 1990. So we had 1919 as a dividing line. You know, the East falls down, there's a time of peace, you know, we don't want to kill one another anymore. And then we've got something else which is going on, and it says here, lukewarmness without parallel will take hold of Christians, falling away from true living Christianity. Christians will not be open for the penetrating preaching. They will not like in the earlier times, to hear of sin and grace, law and gospel, repentance and restoration. But instead they've got a substitute, which is a prosperity gospel. Yeah. And that is, I mean, do I need to say more? That is, turn on Christian television, and I mean, I've given up on it. I got satellite television, and it's like what she was prophesying before. I had about 1,000 channels here in England, and I really enjoyed them. There were about 20 Christian channels on there, but the amount of decent stuff that was on satellite television, it was just virtually zilch. I mean, there was some on there, and there were some really good ministries on there, but a lot of it was just really, really bad. It wasn't Bible. They weren't teaching the Bible. They were teaching something else. And we got this prosperity gospel, which was just pumped and piped on all the way. And people were falling for it. They were flocking to it, you know, health and wealth. And that's what it was all about. And no more preaching about sin and repentance. It's a big problem. Bear this in mind, what was happening. And again, when you look in the 60s, it just didn't happen. It all sort of, it was a product which slowly made its way sort of in the 80s. And then in the 90s, it really sort of went on steroids, and it's been, you know, up and out there ever since. The prosperity gospel. I mean, look at some of the emergent stuff, the emergent churches which are coming up, some of the mega churches, and look at the gospel they are preaching. And it's actually quite horrendous. There's no more Bible in there. People will go to hell because they've never had any repentance in their lives. They've never really embraced Jesus. They've never... they made up a God themselves in their mind, a God that doesn't exist, but not a God of righteousness, you know, requiring repentance, requiring the ultimate sacrifice to pay for sin. It's really shocking. It's really, 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 really shocking. Okay. prayer houses and churches emptier and emptier. Yeah, that's what you prophesied as well. I heard some statistics. I don't know the exact words, but I heard it some time ago, and it was quite shocking. Again, please don't quote me on this, but America, yeah, there are more mosques being opened more and more because obviously there are lots of Muslims are coming to America now, especially in the Obama era where the borders were wide open. And they were opening mosques right, left and center and proclaiming their territory. And at the same time, a lot of churches were getting shut down. And there was a two-tier effect. One of them is people just didn't respond to the gospel anymore. People didn't want to know. They didn't want to know small churches. And instead, they went to big, mega, super-duper churches with super-duper preachers and a soul massage gospel, but not a gospel that cuts right into your heart. Just to remind you, the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. And dividing the marrow, the bones. And when you look at sort of this imagery, yeah, it is powerful. It pretty much cries out and it cries you out and says, you are a sinner. You are a sinner and you need to do something about it. And that thing you do about it is repentance. And it's coming to Christ and receiving his grace. And it's not just a one-off, but it's a daily thing where you have to look at your failures and where you go wrong, you know, in your thoughts, in your heart, in neglecting your relationship with God, in pride or other things, you know, other bad stuff that's happening. And for some, it may be blatantly obvious. For others, you know, if you're on the way of holiness, it'll be less, but it'll still be there. And we need to clean up, you know, wash our feet on a daily basis as we walk through this world, and wash one another's feet. I'm referring to the image where Jesus, you know, washed the feet of his disciples, and he made a point that whoever said a bath, Peter said, oh, don't wash, not just my feet, but my bath and everything. Because Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, I've got no part in you. And then he said, oh, wash the whole thing of me, because I want, you know, you to have all of me. And then Jesus said, whosoever said a bath does not need washing all over, but just your feet. Does not need another one, but you need washing your feet. And this is pretty much sort of the description of the Christian life. You know, we walk through this world, we're dealing with the flesh on a daily basis. We're dealing with pride and bad emotions and haughtiness and maybe sexual sins or whatever it is. But we need washing of our, of our feet on a daily basis. Repentance is an ongoing thing. Let's have a look how much time we've got. We need to carry on. Yeah, we need to carry on. Okay, next one is TV stations. Yeah, that's the third wave. Immorality on TV. I once heard Hollywood, they've always been about pushing the envelope. And I think it's about 10 years ago or longer, and one of the producers in Hollywood said, what can we push? And they came to the conclusion there's nothing more to push. They've done it all. You know, all the vileness and immorality has been screened on TV right into our homes, and we are lapping it up and sucking it up and getting slowly brainwashed. Sexuality on TV, it's just all over. I mean, I remember from being a kid, going back into the 80s, being a teenager, all the rubbish that was there on television, you know. There used to be, it's quite interesting as well, there used to be the 60s and 70s, and the 70s seemed to be sort of where stuff started slowly changing, but it wasn't quite as vibrant. And then you go to the 80s and 90s, and it got really, really bad. But sort of films which were produced in the 60s and 70s, most of them, they were always positive, you know, just encourage, you know, straight living, clean living, good life, encourage people to do well, yeah. And then it sort of all went downhill, and you saw stuff you had never seen before. Yeah. Also, again, three programs, all state control. The state was very keen to make sure that people saw good, healthy stuff. You didn't see the sort of crime and things like that to that extent, or the goriness on television as we do today. Number four, people from poor countries would stream to Europe. Yeah? And it's true. Immigration didn't really exist in the 60s. We had a little bit in Germany, but It was just, in Germany, it was just one country. I know in Britain, it was just a couple of countries as well. And look on the street. Look what's happened over the last 20 years. And then look what happens in the last 2-3 years. When you go to Germany, when you go to some places on the continent, in Europe, you don't recognize them anymore. They've been totally Islamized. There are mosques coming up all over. Certain areas, the population is shifting from a European to a Middle Eastern population. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. And that's something which you couldn't really predict in 1968. I've heard something like that is a 40% or something in Germany. They've got a migration background, but that's a fairly loose statistics. You can make them say anything you want, but there's a big number of people who've got a migratory background, yeah, in Germany. And again, when I was a kid, we had some people from Turkey, so-called guest workers, and you saw some of them, you hang out with them. The second generation came up and they were just like us. We had a few Italians, a few Spaniards, but there wasn't really any great deal of migration. It was just a minority. Okay, and now we've got the scary thing. And when we see all this, you know, and you can probably have seen the pictures when millions of people started streaming into Europe, you know, these endless chains of this column of people just marching into Germany, marching into Scandinavia. you've seen what was happening in Calais and people trying to get into Britain. Whatever you think about it, but it's never happened before. And he said, then a war will start from some weird direction. It'll turn into a world war, and it'll finish with a nuclear bomb. And if I read it right, she believes that the rapture is going to take place. She says, see, let me just quote what she says. She said, that's right at the end, I will not see it, but you will. Then suddenly, Jesus will come, and the Third World War breaks out. It'll be a short war. Okay, so I'm not sure whether the sequence is right. I hope it's right. I mean, she says right at the end, the one who has the sin forgiven and is Jesus as Savior and Lord is safe. Okay, that's the message here, you know? That's the message. Have your sins forgiven and have Jesus as Lord and Savior and you'll be safe. But also there's another message as well, is that is we are culminating. And it's coming, it's peaking up, it's going right to the end. When we look at end time signs, it's just tons of them out there, absolutely tons of them. We've only got a minute left, so we can't really go through them all. But just looking at this one prophecy about this old lady in 1968, we can see that that we are heading very, very close to the Lord's return. Okay, what shall we do? What shall we do? This is a big question. If you don't know Jesus, make sure you're right with God. You know, come to Jesus, ask him into your heart. Repent of your sins, you know, offer your sins on the table and say, Lord, I cannot do it out of my own strength. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I have not put you first in my life. I have been nasty to other people. I've done stuff which isn't right. And please forgive me and help me to turn and to walk in a way which is pleasing to you, to do the stuff you want me to do. So that's number one. Number two is if you are a Christian, it's just make sure you're busy about the Lord's work, you know. Do everything right. Be right to your family. Be right to your kids, your wife, your husband. Be right to the people around you. You know, preach the gospel. You know, try and save and rescue as many as you can before the time is over. We've got 10 seconds left. Let me just quote this last verse. And she says, the one who has his sin forgiven and his Jesus as Savior and Lord is safe. God bless and bye-bye.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.